Society at large. Welcome, I am Olamumi Akon, your host, on Radio 1103.5 FM. We'll take a quick break and we'll be right back. Stay with us.
Looking good is not just about what you wear. It is also about what you eat and drink. Living a healthy life can be a big deal. So stay connected and get informed on various health issues, plus tips to always put you up and about with Health Connect on Radio 103.5 FM.
Alright, it's the Health Connect on Radio 103.5 FM. Now, generally, something that nature bestowed on a woman is the ability to create life. It's a beautiful thing. It also comes with a lot of expectations, a lot of waiting. You can't wait to have your own baby. You can't wait to start your own family. In Africa, right here where we are, especially in Nigeria, the wait is made worse by pressure from parents of the couples, from the families on both sides, and in a lot of cases, society. Now, what exactly are those factors that could cause delay in pregnancy, and when should a couple see a doctor? Now, this is a very wide issue, and we cannot finish every single thing under this topic just today. So we're going to make it a series. We're going to start today focusing on fibroids. A lot of us have been hearing fibroids is even almost a household name now among women of reproductive ages. In fact, once you hear the word fibroid, it brings this fear in your mind that you cannot let go of. We even hear that one in every two black women have fibroid in one form or the other. So today we are focusing on fibroid in relation to pregnancy. I won't be doing this alone. Of course, you know, I am not an expert when it comes to that. I have Dr. Babatunde Ogunniran. He's a consultant gynecologist with the Bridge Clinic, Lagos. And together we'll talk about this. Now, don't forget, you can call in to ask questions or make comments. Maybe you have a question or the other, you've noticed one thing or the other, and you need clarification. The numbers are 0818-706-9979 and 0813-331-3172. All right, thank you so much, Doctor, for joining us. You're welcome on the show.
Thank you very much.
All right, let's start with the basics. Everybody hears of fibroids, and I'm sure that a lot of people have so many misconceptions, truths about fibroids. So can you break it down for us? What exactly, when we talk about fibroid, what are we talking about?
Okay, as you said, fibroids is almost like a household name. Almost everybody talks about, okay, fibroids. What exactly are fibroids? Now, basically, in the scientific world, it's also called leiomyoma, which some people would have also heard about. So fibroids basically are just benign growths within the smooth muscle walls of the womb.
What's benign?
Yeah, benign means innocuous. It means it's harmless. In quotes, that is what it means. Okay. Because the opposite of saying something is benign is to say something is malignant, which is cancerous. But definitely fibroids are not cancerous. Okay. So they are benign growths of the smooth muscles of the womb. I won't be using too many scientific terms
that
our audience can understand. So instead of saying, okay, the uterus, I'll say the womb, mm-hmm. which almost everybody understands that. So they are benign growths that actually occur within the muscles.
So they're just growing. It's not
they're growing.
Particularly harmful on their own.
On their own, they are not. Because, of course, we are going to talk about effects. Because we are talking today about effects on fertility itself.
Yes, exactly.
Because that is what is the concern here. A lot of couples are trying to get pregnant. The chances of getting pregnant every month naturally is about 25%. So if by 1 year we expect at least 90 to 95% of couples should actually get pregnant. But, of course, by the time a couple has tried for about a year and they are not getting pregnant, they need to start looking for what exactly is causing this issue. So some of the issues that are actually being talked about are actually fibroids.
Okay.
And in about, it's actually very, very common. Fibroids are actually very, very common. About 60% of women in the reproductive age can actually have fibroids. But the truth is, majority of them may not be symptomatic. But because we are talking, because we are talking about relationship to fertility now, some of them, when they come in for evaluation, you actually discover that they have fibroids. And, yes, sir.
Before we go, I just want to take a quick break.
Right.
The fibroid grows in the womb. Is that the only place a fibroid grows?
Yeah, usually, because now when we look at the womb itself, there are various ways or various locations within the womb itself that the fibroids can actually be located.
Okay.
So, of course, when we talk about when we do our scans and we evaluate clients, we will tell them, okay, you have a submucosal fibroid, you have an intramural. I will explain all that. You have an intramural fibroid, you have a subserous fibroid. Those are the different areas within the womb that it can be located.
Okay.
So when we talk about submucous fibroids, those are within the inner lining of the womb, because that is where the baby stays. Okay, so when you have fibroids located within inner lining, we talk about submucosal fibroids. When they are within the muscle layer itself, we talk about intramural fibroids. And all these have impacts on the chances of pregnancy itself. And when it's located on the outer layer or within the muscle wall, we can actually talk about subserous fibroids as well. So these are all the classifications that we talk about when we talk about fibroids. But in relation to fertility, which we'll still talk about, I'll talk about their effects also as
But they all have effects on fertility, all
definitely,
of them.
Yes, yes.
Okay, sir. Is it, okay, we talked about the deadliness. If I decide to leave it like that.
Yes, that's why I said that. That's why I said that about 80%, 70% of women with fibroids will actually come without symptoms. They don't know except they come in for evaluation.
Okay.
I was just talking with someone, one of your staff, some few minutes ago. She said she just fell ill and they got to the hospital. They found out she had fibroids. Definitely, maybe not really that the fibroids were what made her ill, but it was an incidental finding.
Mm-hmm.
So there are some people, they could actually just come in for evaluation and find out they have fibroids. So, and some people could actually be asymptomatic. You don't need to do anything about it if it's not symptomatic.
Okay.
But of course, when we're talking in relation to fertility now, you are having symptoms, and usually one of the commonest symptoms is what we call menorrhagia, which means heavy and increased menstrual flow. So every month they come with a heavy menstrual flow. They are seeing so much blood. Some people have actually had been admitted and had blood transfusion just because of heavy menstrual flow
from fibroids. Of fibroids.
Yes, just because of fibroids. Some fibroids, as I said, most that are submucosa within the inner layer are those that actually present with this heavy menstrual flow. And those also have impact on fertility. So all these are the reasons why some women will actually just have to have those fibroids removed.
Okay, so what are these impacts that they have? The different kinds? What are the different types of impacts they have on fertility?
The impacts they have on fertility actually various. There are so many things that have been talked about. And usually even various studies have talked about that is actually not a causal relationship. When we talk about fibroids and fertility, it's not that fibroids in itself just cause infertility, but because of the effects and the impact, is a casual relationship. So because about 10% of women that will come to the clinic to actually, because of fertility concerns, 10% of them actually have fibroids. And when we talk about the sole cause of infertility in some women, fibroids are actually cause about 1 to 3% as the sole cause of infertility in some women.
That's a low amount.
That's a low amount. But when we talk about the impact of infertility itself, it's 100% when we look about the impact of infertility. You talked about earlier the impact it has on some homes. There's marital disharmony. There's so much pressure. So the fact that you now have something that actually has been identified, which we see in the course of an evaluation, and these are what I'm talking about. Now, fibroids can actually distort the inner lining of the womb itself. Especially if you have submucous fibroids that are within the inner lining, they can actually distort that anatomy. And when we look at that anatomy, the chances of pregnancy are actually reduced when the anatomy or the endometrial cavity, which is the inner lining of the womb, when it's distorted, it actually reduces the chances of getting pregnant.
Okay,
now,
so it has to remain a particular way once anything changes?
Yes, once that changes, because it alters that inner lining. And because that inner lining is where the baby stays.
Mm-hmm.
When you have sperm fertilizing an egg and it becomes an embryo, it implants within the womb, which is the inner lining, Okay, and that inner lining is what we call the endometrial lining. So when you now have fibroids distorting that endometrial cavity, it actually reduces the chances of getting pregnant. That's number one. Also, by the time you have those fibroids that are there, the implantation rate is also reduced, and a lot of studies have actually shown that. And that's why in the course of evaluation, when you have submucous fibroids, we actually always advise to have them removed. We also have, I talked about intramural fibroids, which are within the muscle layer. Those can actually also indent and push and distort that lining. All these also have a effect.
These ones are pushing from,
yes,
someone
is pushing from inside, someone is pushing from outside. All these actually reduce the chance of getting pregnant. They reduce the chances of implantation of what the embryo is developed. Now, it depends on where they are located also. You have fibroids that are blocking or obstructing the area where that's the junction between the tubes and the womb itself. Okay, because looking at the anatomy, it's always good to have a graphical representation. So when you have fibroids actually obstructing that that pathway from the tubes into the womb, it could actually also lead to reduced chances of conception. We talked about symptoms earlier. The fact that menorrhagia is setting in which they have heavy menstrual flow, that also reduces the coital frequency when they meet with their husbands, and also reduces the chances of getting pregnant.
All right, we'll take a quick break, but do remember that the numbers to call are 0818-706-9979, and we also have 0813-331-3172. Don't worry, it might seem as if the doctor has a lot to say in such a short time. Remember, we said we'll turn this to a series. So if we have to, we'll talk about it again, because these are issues that really affect our homes, especially in our climate right here. We're talking fibroids in relation to infertility in women. Fibroids in relation to infertility in women. And with me in the studio today, I have a doctor, Dr. Babatunde Ogunniro. He's a consultant gynecologist with the Bridge Clinic, Lagos. Stay with us, don't go anywhere. Hello, it's still Health Connect on Radio 1, 103.5 FM. Hello, good morning. Hello? We can't hear you properly. Hello? Maybe you can call the other line. We have two lines. Maybe this line is not working for you. We have 0818-706-9979. We also have 0813-331-3172. Those are the numbers you have, so you can call back on any of these two if you find out that maybe one is not working for you. All right, it's the Radio 1 103.5 FM. The program is Health Connect. We're talking fibroids in relation with infertility, in relation to infertility in women. I have Dr. Babatunde Ogunniro, a consultant gynecologist with Bridge Clinic, Lagos. All right, doctor, we've talked about I think we just talked about two different fibroids and how it affects fertility. What about the third one? I think you mentioned the third one.
Yes, I talked about the location of the fibroid, which are the subserous fibroids. Subserous fibroids are actually on the outer layer of the womb itself, which is the uterus. And a lot of studies have actually talked about their impact as well. But usually, subserous fibroids do not really have a major impact on the chances of getting pregnant. But of course, we know that depending on how fibroids had the size of those fibroids, all those have an impact on the symptoms that they can actually have in pregnancy as well.
Hello.
Hello, good morning.
Hello.
Your name, please.
Hello, Paul.
All right, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you, sir?
I'm very fine.
Yes, sir.
I want to ask a question. If you have fibroids.
Okay.
But I don't know whether you have cure. Because I collected some people that after I made the approval from the doctor in the hospital, the thing will come back again. So I want to know whether fibroids have total cure.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you so much, Paul.
All right. It's actually interesting that this question was actually asked. And the truth is, fibroid itself, the definitive treatment for fibroids is actually removal of the womb itself. That is the definitive treatment. Yeah. But of course, that is radical. And so we, of course, nobody will advise that except
we are talking about
yes, we are talking about fertility. So we can't be removing, we can't be removing your uterus definitely. So definitely, it's that is not. There's no definitive cure as it were.
Okay, you understand? Let me pause you there, and we'll take two questions at a time.
Good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Yeah, my name is Julius.
Julius, where are you calling us from?
Yeah. Please, apart from the infertility in women, can fibroid also stop women from having her menstruation?
Okay.
I'll take the first question.
Okay, we'll just listen in, and the doctor will answer your question. Okay.
All right. So. We're talking about the first question. So because there's always a chance, because I heard him talk about someone that had surgery before and they now discovered they had fibroids again. So there's a chance of recurrence with actually fibroids.
Okay.
And that chance of recurrence, about 40-50%, there's always a chance of recurrence. But what we talk about is, of course, there are different treatment modalities that are available for treatment of fibroids. And the mainstay is usually surgical management. Because there's also the medical management, which there are so many things that have been talked about, the use of medications and things like that. But the definitive treatment is actually surgical. So either we're doing an open myomectomy, you're doing hysteroscopy, you're doing laparoscopy, which are the surgical methods that are available to actually remove the fibroids. But as I said, the definitive treatment is actually radical, and that is not advisable except for women that have completed their family. But we're talking about the issue of infertility here.
Mm-hmm.
So because we're talking about the issue of infertility, it means that the mainstay is actually surgical to actually remove those fibroids. And there are different surgical methods, as I said. Open myomectomy, hysteroscopy, laparoscopy.
So there's no question of taking a drug that can reduce it or anything?
Yes. Now, that's why I said there's also the medical management. And medical management involves taking medications. And there are various medications that have been talked about. First of all, there's the symptomatic management. For example, for those that are having, for example, heavy menstrual flow, they can actually be on hormonal agents. We talk about progesterone-based agents, the use of also what we call tranexamic acid and so many other agents like that can actually be used. And this actually medical management for reducing the heavy menstrual flow. But some people talk about, okay, can't I just reduce the size of the fibroid? There are also agents that are actually available, okay? And some agents include the use of what we call, I don't want to use many medical terms, but some agents that have been used include gonadotropin-releasing hormone analogs that actually have been used. And this actually helped to shrink the fibroids. But because we are talking about the effect of fertility here, shrinking the fibroids, those medications, apart from the fact that they're expensive, they cannot be used for too long.
Okay.
So usually when we use them for clients, we are using them for maybe about 3 to 6 months just to shrink those fibroids so that they can be removed. Do you understand? Surgically, because some fibroids could be very, very huge. And of course, the issue of even surgery itself, if you are doing an open myomectomy, the risk of bleeding from that surgery is high. So if we use those agents, those can actually help to shrink those fibroids and they can be removed by surgical means.
Okay, what about, let's go to the second caller before we go back to our phone lines.
Can
fibroid totally stop menses?
Well, it's not likely. Okay, the converse is actually the fact that it causes heavy menstrual flow, especially if you have submucous fibroids. So the fact that one has fibroids and you are having reduced flow is actually not usual.
Okay.
It actually be from other means or some other causes that are actually causing that. So someone that is presenting with that should actually have some evaluation done, which is very, very important. So it's not usual that someone will have fibroids and the menses are now reduced or she's having what we call hypomenorrhea.
Okay, let's take this call. Hello.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Your name, please.
My name is Mrs. Brainerd.
Mrs. Brainerd, go ahead,
yes,
please.
Yes. Please, I want to ask the doctor, what actually causes fibroid?
Okay.
And is it natural that one should develop fibroid on her own?
Okay. All right. So I'll answer that question now because that was part of our discussion as well. Now, generally and internationally speaking and all over the world, the cause of fibroid is not known, generally speaking, as a lot of other causes, when we talk about cancers and all those things. So the causes of fibroid or the etiology of fibroids are not known. But there are a lot of risk factors that actually are predisposed that when you have these risk factors, there's increased risk of developing fibroid. And as I said earlier, when we started discussion,
I'm going to mention them.
As I said earlier, about 60% of women of reproductive age will actually have fibroids in their lifetime.
Okay, let's try and break it down. Reproductive age, what are we talking about?
When we're talking about reproductive age, a woman that started seeing her periods.
So it can be as early as 13, 11?
Yeah, 16, 15, 18 years. We've had surgeries for people that are actually 18 years. They had huge fibroids. So the fact that because of the hormone dependence, that's why I will talk about the risk factors now. The risk factors are there. One is black race.
As long as, once you're black.
Once you're black, there's a high risk of actually, about 2 to 3-fold risk of actually developing fibroids.
And please, let's just clarify this. Yeah. When we're saying you're black, it doesn't mean your skin color.
No, it doesn't mean your skin color. I'm talking about African-American, even African-American.
Yeah.
So the fact that you even live outside the country and you're an African-American, the risk of having fibroids actually increased.
Okay.
And these are due to a lot of genetic factors that have been talked about. Now, it's also important to know that obesity also is a risk factor for developing fibroids. Yes, if your BMI is high, above 30 kilogram per meter squared, there's a risk of developing fibroids. Then also not having, that's the misnomer here, also not having children, that's nulliparity, is actually a risk factor. So you tell me, a woman that has fibroids, she's not getting pregnant. Yeah, still telling me you're not getting pregnant also has a risk of developing fibroids. Yes, it's actually one of the things that also been talked about. Then diet also is, those are the risks that have been talked about. Taking red meat also has an increased risk of developing fibroids. The aspect of taking alcohol, caffeine, also has been shown to actually have risk. So, as I said, there is no found etiology that once you have this, you definitely will have fibroids, because we have some very slim women and they still have fibroids. Mm-hmm. And we have some obese women that don't have fibroids. So all these are just risk factors that actually been talked about, and those are the theories that have actually been researched.
Okay, so excuse me. What can I just decide? Is there an age that I can say, okay, let me go for a full checkup to know if I'm going to have fibroids, just to be safe before I even get married?
No, the importance is that in this part of the world, there is also a poor health-seeking nature in this part of the world. There doesn't have to be a reason why you should go to the clinic to actually have yourself evaluated. Not that you're even trying to get pregnant, just to have yourself evaluated. Actually, and either a biannual or an annual checkup is actually important to just check yourself, do a scan. Just a simple pelvic scan could actually diagnose fibroids. And if, of course, as I said, it's not symptomatic, it's not so big, it's not affecting the inner lining, it's not something you need to actually have it removed. But of course, if you're having symptoms, you're having heavy menstrual flow, you're also having infertility also associated with it, it's actually advisable to actually have it removed.
Okay, we have to end the program now, and I have to appeal to you. If you can come back, let's have a repeat of this, a follow-up of this, because I still have a lot of questions that we need to ask about fibroids. I don't know if it's possible for you to come back.
Well, we'll work on that. That will not be a problem.
All right, thank you so much. Now, you've been listening to us, Health Connect, on Radio 1, 103.5 FM, and I've been speaking with Dr. Babatunde Ogunniro. He's a consultant gynecologist with the Bridge Clinic, Lagos. Now, he's going to come back, but maybe between now and then, you have questions, you can call an 01. You can send WhatsApp a message, just a message. Let's leave it like that. So, you know, he's going to be busy. So at least if he sees the message, you can reply. You can send a message to 0810-460-7791. That's 0810-460-7791. That's for messages alone. You can also call 01-631-0092. That's 01-631-0092. But the program will continue next week, so don't forget that you can always join us then. You can follow me on Twitter. You can ask your questions. Let's just get the momentum going, and then we'll answer all your questions next week. I'm with Olam Miyako on Twitter. Thank you so much, Dr. Babatunde
Ogunniro. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for having me.
Our Health Connect was scripted and produced by Bumi Yakini, the producer of the program. We'll be back here same time next week to move on with the program, talking fertility, fibroid in relation to fertility. So thank you so much for joining us. Have a good day.
Radio 1, 103.5 FM.